Guys, welcome to the Masters in Motion podcast. I'm Jason Grubb. I've got Rick Stevenson here, and we are going to talk about quarterfinals. There may be news, there may be crazy things happening in the world, but you know what? Quarterfinals were released today, and that is what we're talking about. That's why we're here, and that's what we're going to talk about. So, Rick, you've done one. This episode is powered by Thirdsy, your go-to for game-changing sleep recovery. Imagine hitting your workouts harder and waking up feeling unstoppable. That's what Thirdsy's PM Recovery Collagen does for me. It's like pre-workout, but for your sleep, fueling your body's active recovery processes without any melatonin or sedatives. Just one scoop before bed supports deeper, more restorative sleep so you can crush your fitness goals. Ready to experience the best rest and recovery? Visit Thirdsy.com and transform your nights into recovery power hours. Thirdsy, because sleep is the ultimate recovery tool. That's Thirdzy.com. Save 20% with code JASONZZZ. Let's get into the show.
I've done one. But first, you're right. The world could be falling apart. But to us, this is our sport, and this is the time that we need to focus. We've got to focus for those 3 weeks for the Open, quarters, hopefully semis, and then move on from there. So, yes, I did do one already, but we'll get to there. Yeah,
we'll get to it. This afternoon, I couldn't believe it. I was in my garage getting myself set up for recording videos to upload to YouTube and all that stuff. And I was refreshing the website and the app back and forth. And then the app showed workout one. And I was like, oh, my gosh, there it is. And I screenshot
they did,
it.
Did they leak it a little early? A couple minutes
it's
early?
It's just they released it like at 15 minutes early, I think.
Okay, gotcha.
So, I caught workout one, and then workout two, three, and four were in the app. I saved the scorecards, so I would just have those, because I wanted to get to work. I got my notes down. I was writing down strategy and notes and my thoughts on the workouts. And people were asking, like, "Hey, did you see the first workout? Is that?" I'm like, "Bro, I got them all already." So I was sending links to the scorecards and. Anyway, it's always exciting. And I remember just looking at the first one and thinking, okay, that's kind of fun. And then the second one, like, oof. You're first taking a look at them, you start to digest them.
The next.
Yep.
I was looking on my laptop at work with the age group. They didn't populate the age group right away. It was individuals and the text group at the gym started to blow up and talk about it. I'm like, wait a minute, there's nothing listed here from age groups. And then I click over to individuals and then your score sheet doesn't matter. So once again, I was led astray and not paying attention, but it was only a couple minutes late. So
it is. I was hoping that at some point they would leak the workouts a little bit early because it helps me with my workflow for the day. But they did not. I mean, 15 minutes is 15 minutes. It was still exciting. I still felt like I had a jump start. But it doesn't matter. I didn't do a workout today. I just wanted to start thinking through these workouts as early as possible. So with that said, I'm looking at my notes. Let's go ahead and – I mean, I think we should just jump right in. Yeah. Workout one.
And the point we'll make, I think, in each of these as we discuss them – we'll be definitely read the rules, read the instructions. There are little things here or there that might trip people up. Or I heard the unfortunate incident at our gym. A lady did it already and then realized she workout one. We'll get to it. Wasn't standing with her back to the barbell at the beginning of every round. Something simple like that. You know, if you want to submit it and risk a penalty, okay. Or you're probably going to have to redo it. Knowing that you don't want to, that you want to make a simple correction and you're able to.
And between you and I and everything that we read in the rule book and what we've heard, the little things here and there, we'll try to share everything that we know or the little intricacies of each workout, like be sure to do this. This isn't required, this and that. But again, it's your responsibility. HQ will say it's your responsibility to make sure your measurements are correct, your videos are correct, you have everything set up appropriately, you're doing the right standard for the movements. And again, we'll try to share as much as we can, but it's up to you to know that inside and out.
Yep.
I mean, Rick, I print them off. I know you do too. We mm-hmm. highlight them. When we go in, we know exactly what needs to happen.
Correct. Starting with workout one, I'll tell you, with each four of these, I was a little caught off guard with the how to set up. And especially, I just did 24.1 and I had to just kind of draw it out a little bit. And then I had to arrange things on the floor. Like the only standard they have is the 5 feet between the rower and the barbell, or in the box and the rower and the barbell. And, you know, I'm like, what camera angle? It is easy when they do give you a floor plan to just say, hey, follow this. But the flip side, as we've heard, is it's cumbersome. There's been some pushback from the community. Just for safety, here's our 5 feet, and you know, you put it together however you want. So I think HQ will have quite a unique number of camera angles to look at whichever workouts they choose to review by video. So good luck to that staff there. But diving into 24.1, individuals and age group, as we know, but we're going to talk about age group here. Four rounds for max reps. So almost fight gone bad style. 1 minute of snatches, and the snatches are 85 pounds for the women, 135 for the men. 1 minute of rowing for calories. 1 minute of dumbbell box step-ups, and that's two dumbbells, as this picture showed, and 1 minute of rest.
Easy.
Do that for
Simple.
Four rounds. 16 total minutes on your timer, on your clock. The dumbbell weights are 50 for the men, 35 for the women, and we both sexes get a 20-inch box, which I can just attest to is I'm so thankful for. It's nice to step
since you did this workout, I assumed that it was going to be grippy. That was literally the first thing I wrote on my notes. High reps, grippy, and kind of a moderate taxation on the body. Not overly taxing, but you can definitely find yourself feeling it in your forearms, maybe lower back along the way. These were the things I was thinking. Yeah. Can you confirm any of these suspicions?
I can confirm a couple of them. My lower back is fine. Okay. As I was warming up, I'm like, should I just throw a belt on just for the heck of it on the snatches, and I can loosen it real quick. It doesn't bother me and get in my way. I didn't go with it, and I'm fine with that. My back is no problem. Physically, the part of my body that got beat up the most is my ego. Now, physically, the part that got beat up the most was my grip. I'm still feeling it in my forearms now, a couple hours later. And from a capacity standpoint, I'm trying to be sensitive and understanding of our audience. It was extremely taxing to me. Mm. It might not be taxing to you, but it was extremely taxing to me. The snatch weight felt great. The row got progressively harder. And the box step-ups with the dumbbells got so bad to the point where on round three, I did put them right down on the box and then readjusted the grip to hook grip them because they were slipping out of my hands. I had nothing. I was holding them for 30 seconds and they were sliding. And, you know, the rules say, you can't touch. Oh, shoot, I have it in front of me. Something about not, they could touch your body, but you can't rest them on your body.
You can't rest it.
And I was worried that I was going to have to try and catch them from falling on the ground because they were sliding out of my hands. So that's how much the grip impacted this workout for me. Everybody's their own different athlete, but I'm just telling you.
Well, we're holding on to something for 3 minutes straight. I mean, pull is what's happening there.
Right.
So that makes a lot of sense. And dumbbell step-ups are very, very challenging on the grip. They just always are.
Yeah.
So with all of that said, tell me about how you set up your space. If you've got to go 5 feet from each apparatus or something like that, did you have to do a tape? Did you do a tape measure?
I absolutely
in your
did.
Video to make
yep.
sure. Okay. Of
absolutely
course.
Did a tape
so how
measure.
Did you, can you paint us a picture
sure.
verbally of what that looked like?
Camera on an angle, pulled back probably 30 feet from the rower. The rower, I had my back to the rower. I mean, I had my back to the camera on the rower, and that's okay. I'm sure they couldn't see the screen from the initial, setup, But in the rules, you were allowed to move the camera over to catch the calories at the end, which I had my judge do each time.
Yes.
So
each round. So during the minute break, she would come and do that.
And we timed, I rode, and then I timed to see how long. We have some rowers that shut off really fast, and I wanted to make sure I didn't have one. So I timed how long that display stayed, and it was well over 2 minutes. So I knew it was perfect. So that's another thing to check, because you don't want to have your judge go back over with the camera and your rower shut off. And you're like, oh,
yes,
that's no good, because you can't see it. Yep. So I had the rower about 30 feet away from the camera. I had the box at an angle so you could see my step up, my full hip extension. From the side profile, right next to the rower. And then I had diagonally 5-6 feet, something like that, away from the edge of the box was a cone. And from the cone was the barbell. Behind the cone was the barbell.
I see. And so that helped you visually make sure that you stayed in that space.
Absolutely. I had the cone right there. And I knew that if that barbell rolled or bounced in front of the cone, I had to pull it back. It didn't, because I was using the right plates. So it was all pretty tight. I don't think if I redid it, I would change the setup. The setup was fine. Strategy was another thing, and worry about that later. But the setup was tight. The transitions, there are a lot of transitions. Did start with my back to the barbell at the beginning of each round. I got a 10-second call. I looked over my shoulder. I looked at the big clock, which was running in the frame also, along with my little timestamp on my app. And 10 seconds, turn around, had chalk on my hands, 3, 2, 1, go, turn back around and begin to snatch. So from a setup and an execution standpoint, it was a clean run. From a conditioning and grip standpoint, it was a mess, but these workouts
and
are.
There is enough time between you've completed one workout on Wednesday. We've got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, that if you chose to, and you wanted to reapproach this workout slightly different, you could do a repeat before Saturday without it being an overwhelming or without it being too much volume on your system.
Correct.
If you wanted to.
If I wanted to.
Yeah.
And I might. I mean, you know, we're each aiming. We probably, you and I and many other listeners here might have very different goals. But if different strategies emerge, and I might have a little bit of time. I think not redoing something in semifinals last year burned me pretty bad because I made some tactical mistakes. I would rather not have that happen to me this year. You know,
I would say I've tested, I mean, I retested some open workouts just to explore some different tactics. I did not retest any quarterfinal or semifinal workouts last year.
Right.
But in previous years I have, just because if there's time, you know, I'm the kind of person that likes to leave no stone unturned. Mm-hmm. And I think this extended window that we have with four workouts over this, it feels like an entire month that we have between now and Monday. I mean, you have the time, you have the freedom, you have the flexibility, you have the fitness for it. And, I mean, heck yeah.
I do hear the argument. If we're on a competition floor, you've got one shot. Why?
But we're not.
Hey, but we're not. It's a qualifier, and I treat a qualifier maybe a little bit differently than being on a competition floor. And there's something beautiful to being on the floor, looking to your left, looking to your right, knowing you have one shot. Who's in the lead? What am I doing right? What am I doing wrong? How do I adjust on the fly? But here, we have 5 days? What was this, Wednesday through?
It's 5 full days.
Yes.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I mean, it's 6 to some degree if we've got a half a day today and then all of Monday.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay, so with that, I know that as I was thinking about this, the strategy-wise, we're not going to try to pull the strategy out of you. This is a little bit more competitive arena. Mm-hmm. It's unique because you have done the workout. I have not done the workout, but I've heard some things, and I think I had some fairly educated guesses based on the look of this workout. Obviously, we're looking at high grip, so you're looking at grip management and how to manage that your way through this workout. I think it's common sense that the hardest single reps to get in this workout might be the snatches, just because of the cycle time and the cycle rate. Mm-hmm. Maybe the cost of each snatch. Maybe. But the row also feels like one of those where, those are efficient reps to get, although high cost as well. Again, the fatigue on a row when you're going all out for a minute, if you go all out, right, it'd be very costly leading into dumbbell step ups. But I think most efficient to least efficient as far as reps go, it's got to be the row and then the step ups and then the snatch.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I imagine my total counts will be, I'll get the most reps from rowing, second most from step ups, third most from snatches, because of the cycle rate and the fatigue that comes from moving through each one of those movements. And it's a medium length workout. Like, this is not a short workout. Three rounds of this, I think, is fairly manageable. You could really cook yourself through three rounds of this, but four rounds makes this much more interesting. It's, you know, it's kind of like when Castro had that, when he was sort of unpacking 24.1, and he was like, well, if we did it this, if we did it like this, he added all these different things. Well, this is one of those workouts where, like, yeah, now we've added this element of four rounds, and that makes a big difference in this one.
Right. 3, 6, 9, 12. Yeah, you're working for 12 of the 16 minutes. So think of it as what do you feel like in a 12-minute AMRAP, or what do you feel? I know it's broken
not
up.
Not good.
I know it's broken up, but it's short. It's that time domain where, you know, after two rounds, I looked over at my coach and judge, and I was like, oh, yikes.
They were just
looking at me, and they were like, okay, you got 30 seconds. That's good. I like that. So,
well, Rick, let's move on to, unless there's anything else, let's move on to workout two. As you describe that, I see that my microphone is showing a dead battery coming soon. So I'm going to switch microphones while you share.
I will.
And hopefully that'll go smoothly.
Yep. Let's see. Let's flip over to workout two, of which my score sheet is missing, but I'll find it again. Okay. Workout two, three rounds for time of 50 wall ball shots. Typical 20 pounds for the men, 14 pounds for the women, 10-foot target for the men, 9-foot target for the ladies. So 53 rounds of 50 wall ball shots and 50 lateral burpee box jump overs. That's 24 inches now for the men on a box, 20 inches for the ladies. 50 and 50, three rounds, time cap, and this is the giveaway, 20 minutes. So there are some details in this here, and I think here another one. Start with your back to the medicine
Interesting.
Ball. Yeah,
King.
That's
easy.
Just at the start, not every round, but obviously just at the start. That's an easy penalty to avoid. Lateral burpee box jump overs, and here's where I think there was a lot of text flying back and forth between just everybody. Let me get to it right here. Start on one side of the box. Chest and thighs must touch the floor at the bottom of each rep. That's pretty standard. Return with both feet with the hands off the floor before jumping. A 2-foot takeoff must be used. A 2-foot landing is not required. Only the feet may contact the box. You do not have to stand up to full extension, which is pretty standard for a box jump over. You may jump over the box. I don't know who's doing that. Maybe the young guns. I'm not doing
that. Yeah, right.
Nope. Trip and kill myself. Athletes must step down from the top of the box. That's the other one. Must is capitalized and in bold letters. Athletes must step down from the top of the box unless they choose to jump completely over. But then the note that caught my attention was a strict lateral orientation is not required. Athletes may face the box during the burpee or the box jump. So their pictures show lateral orientation, but then they say that's not required, and you may face the box during both the burpee or the jump. So from a speed standpoint, I think you made that point to me. Lateral's faster.
Seems like it.
Under fatigue, I don't need a trip going laterally.
Yes. I
am very comfortable doing forward-facing box jump overs. We do lots of them. Many people do lots of them. Under fatigue, I trust myself to jump up to the box and not trip facing the box. Mm-hmm. But I haven't done it
yet. I think that's
neither
the big point right there. I think that it just, they should have just said burpee box jump overs, any orientation. would have been
correct. That would have been the right way to write. Yeah. Any orientation is sufficient, lateral or box facing. One line.
Yeah. It's almost like, solve that. Like someone just threw this note in there last, but like, hey, you know what? Make it anyway. They want to do it. But I'm with you, Rick. You know, when I saw lateral burpee box jump overs, I was like, man, I never do that. I never do lateral burpee box jump overs. Like, okay, that's got to be in the mix. It just, it's funny that you have this super simple orientation to a box, and it just hasn't crossed my mind that we might do something like that. But then they allow us to make that change. So my plan is actually to do this workout tomorrow, and I'm going to, in my warm-up, practice both versions of the reps so that I'm ready to go, ready to feel how that is, the cadence. You know, I feel like with lateral, I'm closer to the box. I'm going to plop down, step up, and find a rhythm to jump over the box. But it is a big lateral jump that I'm not used to doing.
Right.
I laterally jump over the rower all the time, but I don't laterally jump that high onto a box.
8 to 12 inches? Yeah. As opposed to a 24-inch box. Garbage. That's double the height.
Yeah. Not looking for a yard sale in the middle of this workout. So there is this other thought that I have. Because it's 150 reps, it's so many burpee box jumps or box jump overs that I was thinking that I might even change it up. You know, there may be some fresh reps where maybe I'm doing lateral.
Yeah.
And just, other reps where I just change it up to do facing, to break it up, break up the monotony, knowing that I think the time cap is going to be very, very tight on this. And it's going to be hard to hit that time cap. This is just not one of those workouts where you go out hot and you end up surviving.
You're right.
You know, maybe the individual athletes are going to go unbroken 50 reps on these wall balls, but I think it's a poor strategy for 99% of the field, because that's just
correct.
It's just so much volume, and the complexity or the buildup of these movements. We've got pushing on the burpees, pushing on the wall balls, jumping on the boxes, pushing in a jumping motion with the wall balls. It's like 300 weighted jumps.
That's a way to think about it. Yeah.
I keep doing more math in my head thinking like, this is just awfulness.
Yuck. Yeah.
But, it is one of those workouts where, you know, it's a lot of conditioning and a lot of repetition, very simple in a couplet and devastating in its execution when we do it.
Right. I might try this tomorrow. I think I'm planning on it to maybe afford myself either rest or repeat. So, I don't think anything about speed out of the gate. You know, be intentional with your rest. We've all done plenty of wall balls in training where you might drop the ball a couple of breaths and you're counting your breaths. You're picking the ball up and you're going again. I've always heard that phrase, go before you're ready. And that's what I think. Yep. It's a thought in my mind that, yeah, I'd love to stand here for 10 or 15 more seconds, kick the ball around with my foot, but lean over, pick it up, get in that squat and push it up to the target. Be careful on your measurements though, too, when you're measuring, with your tape measure up to the target. Most of these wall ball targets now, the 10 feet starts at the bottom of the rogue circular target. If that's what you're using, if it's not one that's affixed to a wall. So then you know that you can hit any part of the target and you're clearly over 10 feet, but you need to show that on your video, beforehand, the tip there.
Is there anything in this video, about the majority of the ball being over the line or does it just need to kiss above 10 feet?
Of course I have this here. There is a,
we like to confirm things. I'm sure that's what it is, but just to be clear,
there was a whole section in there about common no reps. The rep is credited when the center of the ball hits the target clearly above the specified height. So you're going to, as you're doing your recording and your measurements ahead of time, show where that 10 feet is. If that 10 feet is at the bottom of the target, then your target is good. If your 10 feet is in the middle of the R, if you're using a rogue logo, you got to hit the middle of the rogue logo and it needs to be clear.
Yep. And I think that's the key, making it clear.
Making it clear where you're going to be. And also, we know the whole, just be a sport. Try not to wear black shorts when with this workout.
Noted.
You know, I mean, Yeah, people are like, ah, I'm going to wear black. Maybe I can get away with a couple of reps. You know, we're trying to,
keep
an even playing field, the work, 20 minutes. Almost everybody is going to be working for close to, if not the full 20 minutes. Wear gray or any other color. You know, ladies have probably more options with colors of shorts and leggings and stuff like that. But for me, it's like either black or gray. It's not that much.
I'd pay all of the money I have, which isn't much, to see you wear some pink leggings or some very clear leggings to make sure you get below parallel. Okay. I've always wondered if you're getting deep enough, and that would be sure enough.
I don't want
to see the video from behind or in the front.
Nope,
I don't want.
Let's go 24.3. You know, I did those reps correctly.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm wearing gray. I will have gray on just to make it easy on them. The last thing you want to do
is think
you've done the work. Your judge is on top of you, so he or she sees your reps. But then you're being video reviewed by somebody that is at your camera angle that wasn't there. Don't give them a reason to.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is one of those workouts where, you know, I'll have some no reps on the wall balls. Like I'll short a couple. I might airball a couple. The judge whoever's judging me on that one, I will tell them very clearly, you know, look, I'll make every rep super clear, but if I don't hit the wall where I need to hit it, or that we have targets at the gym, if I don't hit the target, just no rep, no big deal. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm on 22, count 22 again on the no rep. It's really simple. I'm not going to get mad at you, but I don't want to get any reps taken away with video review. I'd rather just do the extra rep here and we'll make it really easy.
Right.
You know, afterwards I'll wring your neck. No, I mean, not at all. It's, no. it's just do the right thing.
They're there to uphold the standards. You know, it's part of the judging course. You know, I'm sure we all have friends that are judges. You know, that's who you have. It's not like at a competition where you might not know the person that's counting your reps. Yep. They're your friends. They're gym partners. They're whatever, coaches, owners, but they're there to uphold a standard. Just make sure that they're holding you accountable for your movement. Make it easy on the video team. If this is the one they choose to look at, I don't know how many they're going to look at.
Yep.
We'll see.
I have no idea what they're going to look at, but I want them to review all of these.
I would love it.
Workout three.
Yes.
Rick, we've got some pushing and some pulling on this one. You want to go through the details?
Yes. Some higher skill too. We have come to expect now, there was a little bit higher skill in one of the open workouts, certainly higher skill with this quarterfinal workout. And I think we'll see that advance as the stages progress. Four time, three rounds, 10 handstand pushups, 20 toes to bar, three rounds of that. Okay. Then two rounds of 10 strict handstand pushups and five rope climbs for the majority of the age groups. It's a 15-foot rope. Then one round of 10 chest to wall handstand pushups and 20 ring muscle ups. Time cap, 15 minutes. There is no rest needed in between, anything like that. It's just do your three rounds of 10 and 20, two rounds of 10 and 5, and then your one round of 10 and 20. Can you get all that done in 15 minutes? Obviously, neither one of us have attempted this yet. I don't think I've heard from anybody who has, because this is...
I have.
Okay. Oh, you have. Okay. All right. Well, then you're going to have some information for us. This is one that is due Monday. This is the second half of the workout.
I do want to make sure this is public. Okay. It is public. Oops. I just started the video. John, how do I say your last name? I'm sure he's going to listen to this podcast and he's going to call me and tell me he's told me multiple times how to say his last name, but last name is, I mean, it's rough. It's spelled G-L-E-I-C-H. So John Gleach,
yes.
You know, John Mustache, yes, absolutely. John.
So
he has shared his workout publicly. So I can, I can share his score, but, he got, I don't remember his score now. But I know that he got deep, deep into this workout. I think the time cap is super tight. If you do the math on this and how long it takes to get through this and how long or how fatigued you're going to find yourself on the ring muscle ups when you get there, this workout in my mind is all about all about the ring muscle ups and saving a reserve for those 20 reps. Let's see, John.
I have not learned shared how to with do that. Me.
Let's see. Da, 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 da. It surprised him. He got capped 14 muscle ups.
And he's a really good.
He got capped, but holy cow. His video is live, and you should watch that on YouTube. Give him a watch. Give him a subscribe. Yep. He's also a pretty humorous guy, so I find watching his videos. I subscribe to his channel.
Okay,
and I think it's really fun because he's putting himself out there. Masters athlete,
I love it.
He is a good athlete, guys. Yeah. If we just want to think about how challenging this workout is, he is the kind of guy that has some good gymnastics. Really good capacity. I think he'll do really well on the burpee box jump workout. He's got a specialty at burpees, but this workout with handstand pushups and the toes to bar, you got to break them up early, right? Yeah. I think Rick, you and I could go unbroken on toes to bar, but you're not looking to burn yourself out. You're looking to reserve all of the capacity that you have for, the next stage. I mean, really, the toes to bar, you're trying to conserve as much as you can for when you have strict handstand pushups and rope climbs, which would be a little more challenging. But I think both you and I, you know, 10 rope climbs isn't a terrible amount. It is a challenging amount, and it's a fatiguing amount.
Absolutely.
So this is, again, not something you just go ham on. You don't kill yourself on those, because you will end up with a little bit of a problem once you get to the ring muscle-ups. But the ring muscle-ups are definitely the crescendo of this workout. Think about the open workout. This was, what it was, it's 16.5. It was also 23.1.
Right, yeah.
Where you had chipper. 50 calorie row, 40 toes to bar, 30 power cleans, 20, whatever it was, 60, 50, 40, 30, 20. And you're at the 20 ring muscle ups. And I remember I got on those rings and I felt pretty good. And I just ripped off this big set of like 8 out of 20.
This. Yeah.
And then I did 2s and then 1s because I just made a huge mistake. All of the fatigue from the workout, even though the first little few ring muscle-ups felt good, the fatigue came and punched me right in the face. And that is one of the things that will happen in this workout if you're not careful as an athlete. Also, I don't know why I just went into this whole dialogue thing, Rick, but I think the same thing with the rope climbs. If you get to them way too quickly, and you're not great at rope climbs, you're going to be in a deficit. You're going to be hurting when you get there. So this is pacing and conserving energy, right?
15 minutes. I'm looking at it a little bit closer now. That's it's 30 handstand pushups and 60 toes to bar out of the gate.
And out of the gate.
20 strict handstand pushups. Now, some people are machines on strict handstand pushups. Good. The majority of the population is not. You know, we can get through strict, but it takes a little bit longer. And 5 rope climbs each round, 10 rope climbs. You know, in training, if you're aiming for 4 in a minute, you're moving.
You're blowing up if you do that.
This is an extra one. So that's 10 total rope climbs. And then 10 chest to wall handstand pushups. Again, I know personally, I've worked on them a lot. I don't mind them, but man, I love ring muscle ups, but I'm afraid I'm not going to have much time to be on the rings. That's the thing.
Well, even if you have 5 minutes, let's say you get through all that work in 10 minutes and you just kind of scoot through that. You're moving pretty quick. You've got 5 minutes on ring muscle ups. I think even some of the best masters athletes with 5 minutes to get through 20 ring muscle ups will think they've got plenty of time and they'll actually start to get worried. Yeah. Yes. The time flies. And if you do sets of 4, and if you do 4 a minute, well, that takes 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And when you're super fatigued, 4 per minute is actually not that easy.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to go 5 a minute, and again, this is conservative. Who can't do 5 reps a minute? That's not that big of a deal until you're super fatigued. And now you're doing 2s and 3s. Maybe you're doing 3 every 30 to 40 seconds. Again, all of a sudden you have all this time slippage happening and that time cap is really, you know, staring you down. So the balance on this one is to go through this with enough, being as conservative enough to have what you need capacity wise to get through those ring muscle-ups in your remaining time, while at the same time not blowing up too much. Like, you know, if you just kill yourself, I actually know another athlete that killed himself and had a ton of time for ring muscle-ups, and it still took him 6 minutes to get through the ring muscle-ups. This is a very, very fit human being. But he did go very fast through everything else, got to the ring muscle-ups, and he said it just took me forever. That to think about as well. Food for thought. It's a high skill workout. And a lot like, I think this is similar to 24.3, where people thought, okay, thrusters, pull-ups, that's okay. Mm-hmm. I can do thrusters and pull-ups, and I can do heavy thrusters and muscle-ups. But this fatigue buildup ran you straight into a wall on that workout, right? Mm-hmm. You shared it with the world here. I think this has that kind of nature to it. Like, there's nothing in this workout where you're just like, wow, this is okay. This is totally doable. Yes, except the cumulative fatigue that builds up will make the ring muscle-ups, the first set not bad, but then every set after that shocking for the majority of athletes.
Correct.
Yep.
Okay.
Fun.
Some of the standards
good
do
news
change
out there.
for the older age groups. We know that. There's some risers. So, you know, point of performance here, make sure you're measuring the riser. It's 2 inches. When you begin, start with your back to the handstand pushup wall. Okay. That's simple. You know, don't get a penalty right out of the gate. Let's see. Here's the other thing. Again, similar to the rower in workout one. The first thing that came across my mind when I read this is the orientation of our gym. Ropes are not near the rig. So, everybody's going to have a different situation with a rig, because you need a rig for the toes to bar, you need a wall for the handstand pushups, you need a row, and then you brought back to the rig for your rings. So, video submissions, the camera may be moved to a position to best capture the next movements. So,
okay.
We've never had that. Remember some of the eagle eye long videos where you're so far away because you're trying to catch the height of the rope, but then you're shooting from such a distance that everything else is small and distorted. I remember back in 21 when we had the GHDs and the pistols, they were a little tiny way over there in the corner, and then you had the rope climbs.
Yes.
So here, have a team if possible, just move, orient the camera to where you can do your toes to bar and your handstand pushups, and then back to the wall for your strict handstand pushups, and then just reorient the camera to where the rope is. Unfortunately, I think, and this is not confirmed, as long as you, the athlete, are still in the frame, you're not dipping and weaving and dodging out of the frame.
Right.
As long as you're still in the frame, you should be fine.
Yeah. Okay. That's really good to know. I think about my gym, and the rings and the ropes are not on the same side of the
you're
gym.
You're going to
have
to move.
So there will be a lot of traveling there.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
You're not different than, I think, a lot of other setups. It's just hard to hang ropes really close to rigs. I just don't see that.
Right.
Or I'm not familiar with that much.
I could just do it in my garage. My rope is hung between my rings on my garage. It would
there
be perfect. Except that my ceiling is 14 feet in my garage. So I would have to... I wish there was a way to I'm going to start seated on the rope climb, and so I can climb up 14 feet and touch it, but that is not a thing.
No.
So I won't be doing it at home in any way. Anything else interesting on that workout, logistics-wise, strategy-wise, that you have thought up or have seen?
Well, there's certain tie breaks. So again, maybe knowing yourself as an athlete, where you can excel. If you need to move through, you're not going to finish. If you finish the workout, there's no tie break. That's specifically spelled out there. So your tie break here on the back of the scorecard is after each of the final rounds. So the 20 toes to bar, third time through, tie break. At the end of the 10th rope climb, 5 and 5, set 2 rounds through, tie break time. And then you begin the 10, if you're at this stage, you begin the 10 chest to wall handstand pushups, wall facing handstand pushups. Let's see. Other strategies. You're going to have to know yourself. And I think I repeated that there. Strict handstand pushups, we have 20 of them. that might stop some men and ladies right in their tracks. And it, you might be down to singles or doubles. And know that. So you might need to rush through the first two parts a little bit because you're going to need to take some time with the strict handstand pushups.
Right.
What's the other thing? Rope climbs. Not everybody climbs a rope super efficiently. I would say most people at this stage of the game can climb a rope, but there's different levels of efficiency. And 10 rope climbs over a very compressed time as the fatigue is start to build up. 10 rope climbs is a tall task for a lot of folks.
Yes.
So know yourself there on that. Chalk, be ready.
Have it ready. And I'm always surprised actually to see rope climbs in a quarterfinal workout, given that these were going to be part of class plans. That was a little bit of a shocker.
Good point. Yeah.
This is a very high skill workout. It makes me excited that it's a high skill workout. Also makes me really curious to think about what's coming for semifinals, because I really would have put this in the semifinal bucket.
Right.
But it is fun to have something quite, very, very challenging like this to give us a bit of a separator on the high skill side of things. And again, it's only one out of, four workouts where we have a couple of big capacity tests. Mm-hmm. We've got this as a capacity and skill test. And of course, event 4, which I think you're going to share with us now, is it has some capacity and some strength built into it. You got to earn your way to some heavy work.
Every weight. So the men and ladies who do want to see a heavier barbell, you're rewarded. Workout 4. This is the final one. We didn't say at the beginning, but we did get 4 workouts like teams. But we didn't get 5 scores. So
correct.
Your future and moving on or finishing your year here is going to be decided by 4 scores. Workout 4 due Monday, with a continually running clock, complete as many reps as possible in 10 minutes of 10 clean and jerks at the first weight. Rest a minute. This is another one of those where the rest is built into the workout. You actually stop, mark the clock, similar to what we did in the open between the thrusters and the chest to bar. Okay, so 10 clean and jerks, weight 1, rest a minute. 10 clean and jerks, weight 2, rest a minute. 10 clean and jerks, weight 3, rest a minute. And then if you are at this stage, max reps for your 4th weight of clean and jerks in the time remaining. The weights. We'll say ladies first, because it could be a little aggressive, I think. 85, 125, 155, and 165. For the men, 135, 185, 225, and if we are getting to the 4th barbell, 245. And it's not just clean, it's clean and jerk. So they could have stopped us dead in our tracks with snatches. They didn't. I think they give more people a fighting chance making it clean and jerks. This is you will have a good amount of fatigue and that time will go fast because you have just built in 3 minutes of rest into this workout already.
This is precisely the workout we did in 2021, I believe, as an age group qualifier. And it was with snatches with these exact weights, if you remember.
Yes. Yes.
It was
for your age group.
My age group. That's right. My age group. Your age group was a whole different workout.
Completely miss me.
Way too late. Weights, yeah. But 135, light. 185, 225. That was really something else. And then some people got to the 245 and just AMRAP the 245 snatch. This time it's a clean and jerk. I actually was very surprised. I saw the workout and I was really nervous when I was scanning down to see the weights on this. I was worried that it was going to be very, very heavy on that AMRAP portion at the end. If you got there, it would be 2, 3, 4 minutes or whatever, as many reps as possible. In my mind, I thought they were going to throw out like a 275.
Correct.
Or something like that. But the fact that they kept this with the weights that they are, it is a slightly different workout for each age group in the sense that in the 50 to 54 year old age group, this is a unique workout. In the 45 to 49, 40 to 44, 35, and then the younger athletes, I'm thinking you're going to see a Jimmy Sprague who's going to be power clean and jerk 245 like it's nothing, right?
Correct.
And for me at 48, being 25 years older than a dude like that, the 245 is going to be very, very spicy, and I'll probably end up having to resort to squat cleans along the way, just because it's so heavy. It's so many reps. And in the 50 plus, I mean, Rick, you're 52. To think that now, gosh, you're even in your age group. I actually love that your age group is still doing this weight, because it makes it such a challenging weight. At 55 plus, there are modified weights and inappropriate.
And I'm looking right now, their top end weight is 185 in 55 to 59.
Okay. Yeah, it's not the discount that we, maybe it is that we would have, that we saw at the snatches, but again, they're not repping out 185 touch and go in the 55 plus category.
Correct.
Maybe one guy is, but who knows? So yeah, my thoughts on this one is that this is similar in the sense that you could go pretty fast on the first weight. If you want to buy time at the end and you've got a really good ability to get through these weights, you're going to go pretty fast on the first round, rest your minute. You go moderately fast on the second round, rest a minute. You've got to be careful that you don't burn yourself out in those 20 reps. Then you've got this 225.
That's a make or break weight, I think.
Yeah. It's a make or break weight.
Right.
And it's going to build up a lot of fatigue, meaning that once you get through that, you get that minute rest, you're not going to feel fresh going into that final weight with a few minutes left.
Right.
But there are definitely going to be some reps to be gotten there. I do know some athletes that did test this, and I was able to get some feedback from them. And it sounds like the couple that I did talk to, coming out too hot could also be a little bit detrimental in this workout. A little, and it's like any workout. If you absolutely sell your soul on round one and round two, you don't have enough rest. You know, once you get into round three, that's a big jump, a 40-pound jump between 185 and 225. You can get yourself in trouble. So I think, you know, you said this on the last workout, and then we'll get into the details. I know I'm talking strategy already, but I'm thinking you got to know yourself in this workout and know your capacity in these movements to carefully push the pace without overshooting, right? You overshoot, and then you got your hands on your knees, you know, well past a minute of rest, and you're chewing up time. So it's there's always a careful balance in these workouts to not overdo it.
If I may say a couple of notes here on the, they are great about it requiring this. Start each set of the clean and jerks with your back to the barbell. I mean,
consistent.
It's great. That's their way of putting us on a starting mat and walking you down a lane. You know, they can't do that on an online qualifier, but they can make everybody standardize. They can standardize that at least. Let's see. Yeah. After no less than 1 minute of rest, turn around and complete your 10 clean and jerks. Let's see. As I said, there are some, wait a minute. There are tie breaks, right? Yep. Three tie break times, after you complete each of the rounds. So, here's the other thing I was going to say. Athletes may change the load on their bars during the rest periods. They may use multiple bars, or they may have assistance changing the load. For once, I think CrossFit HQ really got it right on this. Make it as efficient however you can. If you're doing it by yourself, video only, you can change your own weights. If you're going to have a team with you cheering you on, they're going to do all the work for you. Or if you just want to have three, four separate barbells, just roll them out. If you've got the equipment, if your gym has that type of that many weights, go for it. Just roll barbell in and out. Pretty easy. Just make sure it's all labeled. Not labeled. Make sure it's spelled out on the camera as you're recording. Show the weights clearly. But knock yourself out. Have four different barbells.
It's a lot of weights to show, but it's not hard. And I always find that if I have, it's really easy until you get to that 225-pound bar, 245, I'm sorry. The 135, I'm talking men's weights, obviously, super easy to show on video. 185, the two plates, you got the 45, the 25. Yep. The 225 is fine. The 245, you often have to sort of have the plates separated so you can see in there. You can see this is a 20, a 45, this is a 45, that's a 10, and then boom, tighten it up and get moving. Unless you are having people load the bar.
I might do two barbells. for this.
Right.
Because it's easier to have 245s on each end for the 225 and then have 10s ready, show them in the camera, ready to slap on.
Exactly.
135 on for the first set, and then just show the 25s in the camera, slap those on and go.
And it would be really easy for your audience to do that. They don't have to make, they only have to make two changes, and all they're doing is just adding simple weights. It's a little easier to manage than setting up four barbells is.
That's a busy floor.
It's fun. It is a busy floor. So our back needs to be facing it. We need to take our rest. We've got to show lockout overhead. Pretty standard. We could push jerk it. We could split jerk it. We could squat clean. Power jerk. We do whatever we want to do to get that bar to our shoulders and then overhead. This is a workout where I'm going to wear a belt. I'll probably wear lifters because I will likely end up doing some squat cleans at 245.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Knowing myself. So I'm planning ahead through this whole thing on however I'm going to get that bar from the ground to overhead and get as many reps as possible. But it's one of those that's fast.
It's the time's going to go fast before you know it.
Yeah. It is. And the pain level is going to be high. It's going to be, like you said, a go before you feel it kind of workout. Mm-hmm. Yep. A little bit, especially as you get deep into this thing. You know, you're not looking to miss any reps, but your comfort level is going to be very, very low. So you just have to be uncomfortable with it.
Know yourself goes without saying, and know yourself as an athlete. I know myself. Yep. I'm not touching and going 135. Can we? Yep. Have we practiced it? Have we done it in training? Yes. Am I doing it now? No, I'm not. I'm going to be quick.
Yep.
But there's no need to do that. You get through 10
and if you,
pretty quickly.
I'm going to bring my dead stop plates to the gym. I have a good set of dead stop plates. So I'll bring those to the gym so that I'm not chasing that barbell around.
Right.
These stop. They stop like they're landing on sand. They're terrible for deadlifts. I mean, they're great for training deadlifts because you get nothing out of them when they touch the ground. So we've got four events. We have to have the two first events submitted to CrossFit. Scores need to be submitted by Saturday evening, depending on your time zone.
Right.
The events three and four need to be submitted by Monday. You are certainly allowed to repeat any of these as many times as you want, but you just have to have workouts one and two, you have them submitted on time. They don't accept late submissions ever. And if you plan on trying to move on to semifinals, you have to have video evidence of each workout. So like Rick said, in the first workout, you want to try to have that camera in such a way that it could see your screen. And I've actually used my iPhone before from a distance, and I can't see it on my iPhone screen. But if you put the video after it's uploaded and you zoom in, you can see that screen. Our phones are pretty good, our modern day phones. Same thing on workout number three. We can move the camera if necessary, and it will be necessary for quite
it'll
a few of us
necessary
to,
for me.
To try to be, I'm going to have it one angle for the rope climb and handstand pushups, a different angle for the ring muscle ups. That's going to be a little logistically challenging, but not awful.
Right.
And, what I like to do, guys, is as soon as I have a workout done, I always like to get that workout uploaded to YouTube nearly immediately. You can actually upload to YouTube from your phone. So you have the workout done. If you forget to stop the workout and you've got an extra 15 minutes at the end of the video of just talking, you can trim that up. It takes less time to upload just the video from start to finish of your training. You're done with the workout. We don't have passwords or anything this year. Get it uploading to YouTube. So that is your backup right there. And do that with every single one of the workouts. If you use two cameras like me, have option one and option two uploaded and backed up. And eventually CrossFit will request a version of a workout to be sent, or one or more of the workouts to
I
be
hope
sent
they're
in
all,
for a video
but
review.
I think it's going to be
me
fewer.
Too.
Yeah, it's going to be fewer this year. So we'll see which one, one or two they choose.
I mean, I'll take John's lead. I would love to see all of us post all of our videos. I don't know if we need to share them prior to the video submission window. I mean, that's a lot of transparency, and I think that's really cool. I don't mind doing that, but it tends to be a higher workload. But I would love if everybody got to share their videos or was required to share their videos. Then we all just know there's not any tomfoolery happening out there. And there's not any, when you see someone that gets done with, workout number three in 6 minutes and they're, 48 years old, I want to see that video, right? Correct. There's always some suspicions out there, and there's a lot of speculation, but
usually confirmed or figured out by video review. So I think if there are some outliers, maybe HQ then just kind of picks and says, okay, let's see this one.
That would be great.
I have not looked at entering a score yet, but I'm wondering, is there a direct link for the video to go along? So I don't have to wait for them to ask. I don't have to miss an email.
Right.
Because you have 24 hours after they ask. Yep. I just would like to put my video link in there when I submit my score.
And that's what they've done historically. Correct. I too have not had a chance to do that yet. I don't think I'll take time on the podcast right now since we haven't done it, but it is interesting. Let's just see if we can submit a score. Are you working on submitting a score right now?
I looked, but it's not I'm running out of battery. I'm running out of battery everywhere. Laptop.
You're going to want to.
This.
Yeah.
We're coming to the end.
We're going
to
lose Rick here in a
we're
second.
We're coming to the end of the podcast.
Individual workout number one. Download your scorecard. Okay. Well, I'm not even. Oh, I can submit a score here. I've got it. I'm going to let you know right now, folks. You've heard it first.
We hope.
My scores. Submit workout score for workout one. There's my judge's name, video URL.
There
is a spot to send a video URL and reps completed. Send it.
Send
the video URL right there. Make it so they don't even have to request it.
Bingo.
There we go. That's great to know, Rick.
It's a good way to end it.
All right, man. Well, before your batteries, both your personal internal battery, your MacBook battery, your laptop battery, your phone battery, all dies.
Yep.
Hey, congratulations on getting one done. At least you got some movement going in this thing.
Yeah, you're right. It was a good day of work. Only one workout, and it just tore my forearms apart. But oh well.
I'll get
good
to
luck.
It.
Good luck to you. I hope everybody's enjoyed us discussing these four. Hopefully by the time you listen to them, you'll have an idea of what you want to do, what your plan is, how you want to attack these. Go out, have fun. Take the time to enjoy. This is part of the season. You know, you train for these moments. So go out there and celebrate with your crew and give it your best shot.
I second it. All right. See you next week.
Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to the Masters in Motion podcast. We'd be so grateful if you could take a moment to leave us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or your preferred podcast app. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel. Your support helps us reach more listeners and grow our Masters community. Until next time, get bolder, not older.